May I introduce Krassi again?
It's my pleasure and my honor to be here today and to speak in front of this audience. Thanks for the organizers, thanks to ICE Consortia. And I'm very excited to be able to speak about very interesting topic, a quite new topic for at least for this part of the world. So my idea today is to speak about the value of video content of academic streaming video in the academy, and also to present different ways for partnership between librarians, faculty members, and publishers. Having a very long and quite serious background as a librarian, I worked as a librarian for 8 years at the beginning of my career, and then a background of a researcher and university professor myself, again for 12 years, I was in that role, followed by my now 10 years of publishing experience. I'm very proud to make a statement that I truly believe in the power of video for changing the way we are learning, we are teaching, and we are doing research nowadays. This is our company's belief as well. Alexander Street was a pioneer and is a leading company in generating of academic video content. And we are very strong in some subject areas. Actually, our content is covering almost all subject areas, but our strongest disciplines of focus are the listed on these slides, anthropology and ethnography, counseling and therapy, psychotherapy included, psychology as well, history, music and performing arts, diversity studies, education, feature and documentary films, business and economics, health sciences, theater, and some other subject areas. My presentation will actually not be the typical company presentation, so more or less this was what I will say about our company and our products, but I will speak more so generally about the video as a media and what it can offer to all of us. So let's start with some words about what's going on and at the moment, what's happening with the audio and video content. We all know that the times changed rapidly, technologies changed the ways we do our, we live, first of all, and also the technologies change the way we teach, we learn, we facilitate research. I'm first presenting some facts about the video landscape. You can see here some data about recent changes. The facts talk of themselves. You see that over 6 billion hours are watched monthly nowadays, and this makes a 50% increase just within last 12 months. Video currently accounts 50% of all mobile traffic. You can see that YouTube sees now 1 billion unique visitors per month. And I could use exactly this point to say that Alexander Street started its activities almost at the same time as YouTube has been created. But I will come to the point, what's the difference between content you can find on YouTube and the content you can find with publishers like us. One of the most important facts for all players in this market, it's important for publishers, important for librarians, for teachers, is that 90% of the web content and the consumption of this video content on the web comes from our key target groups, namely people in the age between 18 and 34 years. Let me also say something about the changes in the educational landscape. All of us know that higher education is evolving in many different aspects. First of all, the learners, I don't speak only about the usual students going to the regular classes, but learners at all ages, people joining continuous education courses, lifelong learning learners. So all these learners have now much higher proficiency with technology and video. Besides, thanks to all the research which is currently done, we have much better understanding of how people learn and what their preferences are. The increased web access has also led to emergence of distance learning. And very important point, even if it's listed last here, is that there is a new generation of tech-savvy teachers. Teachers who are keen to use new technologies and to bring students to more interaction, to involve students much more than before. This slide is presenting some facts about the growing significance of, some more facts actually, about the growing significance of video. I don't know whether you have already read about this last research that currently YouTube has become twice more popular than Wikipedia. You know that initially many of the students used to check Wikipedia instead of going to some reference works, etc. What they do now, they go to YouTube usually and try to find some videos, try to find some visual presentation of the knowledge they are looking to gain or the information they are seeking. Video is currently 57% of all network traffic. The previous data was related only to mobile traffic, and this is for the entire network traffic. And one very interesting fact that actually is not fact, but expectations that the video on demand traffic is expected to triple by 2017, it's just within some months. Imagine that the amount of video on demand traffic in 2017 is expected to be equivalent to 6 billion of DVDs per month, these are amazing figures. These are amazing developments. Some more facts and some more arguments to the fact that the video has ever-growing significance. 79% of students watch video voluntarily to help understanding scientific concepts. And the streaming video has just become a part of how students learn, of how students prefer to see the scientific, to get access to the scientific information. 68% of students also watch video in the classroom. So we see that video is now becoming critical for our libraries as well. and there is definitely a demand for digital content. So all current research shows that video is definitely and proven as a media improving student outcomes. Why? Because first of all, it brings in experts and multiplicity of perspectives. It extends the classroom time and space. Students can customize their education in their own way, preferred way. And the lecturers can teach in a way students are accustomed to learning. All students at all ages nowadays are watching video or listen to audio materials. And they have both the classroom access and the web access from anywhere. All students also record video themselves. And this is what I mean here is not only in their private lives, but also in the classroom. They can capture lectures. We have seen how many of us have made a picture of a slide which we were interested in, or how many of us just make a short video of a presentation. So it's not a surprise to say that students are using more and more this type of media. So students, or all actually involved in the academy, can also conduct interviews. They can film experiments done in the classroom. And it's even probably not needed to mention how good students are in using the video communication such as Skype, Google Hangout, etc. Just because they expect to see as well as to hear. And they just like to use this media-rich environment during their studies. I'm sure that having mostly librarians here in this audience, you all know, you all have heard about the MOOCs projects, about the online many online learning initiatives, and about the so-called flipped classroom. Just one illustration to see how media is used and video is used. Look at the picture from a concert in the 90s and look what happened even 10 years ago. So now everybody is capturing a video. But the topic here is not only about capturing, recording video, but making video available, accessible, searchable, and findable for all of us, and make a much better use of this video. And there we can speak about our roles and the role of librarians, especially in evaluating the quality of the video and making it available and usable for our target groups, for our users. How we evaluate content, it's not much different from the printed media, so we use more or less the same criteria, like evaluating the authoritativeness of content, the faculty requests, and their endorsements of content, to check curriculum relevancy, to also evaluate the breadth of content. But there are also some new criteria because of the uniqueness of the media, like checking the or evaluating the compatibility with accessibility standards, etc. So, how are audio and video being currently used in the academy? By faculty members, first of all. A recent research is showing that most of the faculty members are giving replies that they are using mostly documentaries and feature films followed by television content in their classroom. But of course, as you can see, teachers are looking for more and more video types for their teaching and for making their teaching more interactive. How publishers started presenting offering video. Initially, video has been offered as add-ons to print materials. Here you can see a prototype from 2009 from Elsevier Article of the Future, where they were adding multimedia to the journal. Of course, technologies changed and gave also publishers the opportunity to offer new platforms and new ways of presenting video. So you can see just a few years later, some experiments have been filmed and included in some digital products. If we try to look at this scale of where the academic streaming video is, where is the place for the academic streaming video, we can see that video content is now much more and can be considered as much more than the so-called infotainment, because it's not only entertaining media. It's not only offering entertaining content, but it's offering also a lot of useful knowledge. Such video content like demonstrations, documentaries, lectures, raw footage, interviews, and training videos are of crucial importance in the classroom nowadays. And I'm just presenting few slides in different subject areas where both Alexander Street is working, but also just areas which are very good examples of the importance of this new media. For example, film studies. For students or researchers in this area, this medium, the video, has a unique ability to capture performance, to make it teachable, to make it researchable. More or less, we have the same situation in the sphere of dance and performing arts. Look here at this, so unfortunately I don't have a pointer, but what you see there is academic notation of a dance. It's very informative for a specialist, but it doesn't present the emotion. It doesn't present the real movement. It doesn't present, thank you. It doesn't present what you can really see on the screen. You cannot see all the movements, all the artisticism of the dancers, etc. You cannot listen to the music only looking at this academic notation. And the video is presenting you all the missing aspects which cannot be put on paper. We have exactly the same situation in theater studies. This is here a testimonial of one of our users, a university professor teaching theater studies, who just makes a very interesting statement about how big piles of DVDs or videotapes he had to use before in order to show students some aspects, to come to some specific points. And now it's easy. He can just run small chunks of information. He can cut clips from a big video. He can present them, annotate them, share with students. And so the academic streaming video makes it much easier, makes the life of the teachers really easier. So, we can speak about same experience in education, in counseling and therapy, because video is making it possible to see all different nuances, to see facial expressions, body language. So students can learn by watching. They can see demonstrations, they can submit classworks and do much more with this. It's just self-understanding that in spheres like anthropology or history news, it's of crucial importance also to have all events captured and make them researchable and teachable. All across the disciplines, video make our experience personal. It make it personal because all work we do is affected by who we are, by our personality, our background, our culture. Video helps us understand, judge, evaluate, and work, and our work, and also the work of the others. So I will just point here to some initiatives which we are running on open access streaming video. And one of our biggest initiatives is the Open Music Library, which we have launched this year. And we started now also with a second project on anthropology, and these open access initiatives will continue. So before end of the year, we are going to launch also open access resources in history and also in theater. So our open access programs are totally different. They are fully free. Why? Because we are dedicating 10% of all our revenue to the development of our open access initiatives. And everything what we could say to you is we are not running after your money in these projects. We are looking for your cooperation. We need your help in digitizing your local content and just partnering with us in making it available, freely available to the entire world. So you can have a look at our project. You can see what type of information we are presenting, we are including in our open access programs. And who are the participating institutions to date? Of course, there are more, and there are also some smaller institutions, some individual researchers, etc. So you can join us, you can have a look at this website and sign up and become our partner in this. So as I said, we are going to launch more project like this, and you are very, very welcome to join us. To see, you can have a look at this content, but also you can always have a free trial to our subscription purchase-based collections to get an idea of the media, of the content, and then think about becoming our partners. Thank you for your attention. I'm very glad to answer any questions, to discuss any comments you may have, any needs, local needs and requirements, so that we can work more effectively together.